Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting Phils and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Good morning, Philadelphia! Or is it? Welcome into Bud Light Baseball Brunch, powered by Green Legion Radio on 102.5 Fox Sports, The Gambler in Philadelphia, WDAS AM, around the rest of the Delaware Valley, where you can download the iHeartRadio app. You can listen to us anywhere, crystal clear, worldwide. I'm Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio, broadcasting to you live from the iHeartRadio studios in Bala-Cynwyd, while my partner in crime for the first time in 2023 is live from Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, and I'm sure as heck that he can't wait to get out of Cincinnati, because there's nothing to do in Cincinnati for one day, let alone four. Murph, welcome back to the program, my friend. It's great to see you.
It's great to see you, Zach. And we're staying over in Covington, Kentucky, beautiful hotel and lots of restaurants and stuff to do. So it's been great. Now the baseball hasn't been all that good for the Phillies anyway, but hopefully they can.
You're kind of going in and out there, Murph. All right, now I think he got you back there.
Oh. You lost me, huh? You got me now?
Yeah. Finish up your train of thought there.
Just saying that hoping that they can get out of here with a split and, get the two wins here in Cincinnati and move on to Chicago, starting to gain some momentum. They've had a hard time putting any kind of momentum together. Only one two-game win streak so far this season. And so that needs to change. Obviously, this team has much higher expectations than that. So hopefully it changes soon.
It's kind of like Lou Brown said, this one's one, but, two is a winning streak, in Major League. That's kind of what we're looking to do and trying to build some momentum. Just real quick, Murph, as far as the schedule's concerned, not a lot of days off here in the early going, it appears. I know we kind of got lucky there after the Yankee series, with having that day off after that 1-5 start, kind of give them a little bit of momentum going into the home opener, even though it didn't start raining until about 8:30 that Thursday evening. We could have easily gotten the game in on Thursday, and you and I would have been able to do the show from 1100 Social that day. It seems like everything is compacted early on and early going here this season. It's much unlike last year where they had to compact everything because they started the season a week late and they pushed everything towards the end. Any reason for that? Or it just seems like it's kind of the way it goes right now. Cause I was looking at the schedule through next week. And again, there's another 4-game set. They go straight from now. They go right into Chicago and then they come home and they have a 4-game set against Colorado. It just seems like everything is happening real fast here in the early going.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's really any different than it's been in the past. I mean, we're all kind of getting used to this new balanced schedule where you're going to play every single team in Major League Baseball every year now going forward, which I think is a great idea. I think it's kind of cool. So I'm sure they had to tinker with the schedule a little bit. But honestly, I think we're playing 17 straight games before a day off at this particular point. And that's not really out of the ordinary. In a Major League Baseball season. What's a little strange is I think in the first week of May, we have 2 days off in the same week. That's a little odd.
Sound like a Monday, Thursday day off combo?
Yeah, something along those lines. So, we'll get a little time then. But the baseball season is what it is. I mean, we say it all the time, but when you live it and you're traveling and you're at all 162, you really just kind of put your head down and go where they tell you. And when you have a game, you show up. And when you have a day off, you stay home. And that's about it. But, it's nothing out of the ordinary for us to go 17 straight. And that's what we're doing right now.
A couple quick shout outs here, real quick. First to my parents for watching my kids, today so I could do the show. But the reason why they're watching my kids is because my wife just finished up her fourth half marathon and, proud of you, babe. Great job. She's really dedicated to this and, she keeps us up. I'm going to have to get a second insurance policy on her. And the only way to do that is by going through State Farm agent Dave Bavuso, who's your go-to agent for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining combining home and auto today. State Farm agent Dave Bavusa will help you mix and match things perfectly. Call 856-740-5012 and your surprisingly great rates. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Again, give him a call at 856-740-5012 or his office is over in Williamstown, New Jersey. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants are subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. So Murph, let's give away some tickets here on the show today.
Okay.
So we didn't do it the first week, and I just didn't feel it would be right, because normally I like getting a Murph top five. If I wasn't able to have that luxury, why the hell even do it? So two tickets to Phillies Diamondbacks on Tuesday, May 23rd at 6:40. And Murph, see, this is something that I did this year that I should have actually done last year, because I wouldn't have gotten Ben over on World Series tickets. So I decided this year I jumped back in. I was a season ticket holder from 09 to 2019. So I decided to jump back into the fray, and I got a four pack, and now I'm up in 413. But the reason why I did that is because, first of all, my kids aren't old enough to be sitting through Major League Baseball games. At least Carson's not yet. So if I need to leave in the six, I'd rather leave with $20 tickets than leave with $40 tickets. But also at the same time, I can give away some of the tickets on the show. So these are my personal seats. They're on the aisle, section 413, row 3, first baseline. You get a nice view of the brand new scoreboard there at Citizens Bank Park. Sat there the other night. I wasn't particularly too happy for two reasons. It was Dollar Dog Night, so which in turn is college night nowadays, so which means a lot of the buttholes in the world were there. And the Phillies had the cycle hit against them by Luis Arraez. First time I ever saw a cycle in person, Murph. First time that I was ever involved with one. So that was pretty cool to see from that standpoint. I just didn't like the fact that it was against the Phillies. But nonetheless, the home opener is one of my favorite days of the year. There's simply nothing better than the feeling of having baseball back in South Philadelphia and all the sights, the sounds, the smells of the ballpark returning to your life. The pageantry and the tradition is second to none. In light of it all, Murph, what is your favorite day of the year?
Opening day is special, whether you're on the road or if you're at home, and it certainly was this year. If you're talking just about in general, I would say the day that your team clinches the postseason is the best day of the year. For us, last year it was the final week of the season, and where were we? I forget where we even clinched. Down in Houston.
Down in Houston, yes, sir.
And so that, you know, that's a great day, and it doesn't happen every year, but if it does happen, it's pretty special. That first celebration in the clubhouse, there's nothing quite like that. So, you know, opening day is wonderful. The home opener is always terrific, especially in Philadelphia and the way they go about it. The ring ceremony was great this year on Sunday, but I'll take clinching day as the best day of the year.
Okay. My favorite day of the year, Murph, is Christmas Eve. I every year.
Oh, you're talking about the
in general. Yeah, okay. Someone put earlier on the Green Legion Facebook post, they said that it was the Fanatics' birthday, which the Fanatics' birthday happens to be my oldest son Jacob's birthday, April 25th. Okay. So it's a special day for two obvious reasons. But I look at it from the context of, like, my favorite day of the year, Christmas Eve. I just everything to build now that I have kids, like, just to see, like, the anticipation on their face when you're putting them to bed. But there's nothing like, you know, when Santa comes and then you just sit down and you can have a glass of wine or you can make your own drink or have a beer and you sit down and you watch, Christmas Story or Santa Claus or whatever your favorite Christmas movie is, Home Alone.
Christmas Vacation. Yeah.
We've gone over that last year as well for the favorite holiday movie. I look at it from that context. I love that day. It's the best day of the year for me, especially having kids. And I know they would pick Christmas morning.
I would imagine
for obvious reasons.
Yeah. Well, just to add to that, then if I'm looking at the whole calendar, it used to be St. Patrick's Day was my favorite day, but I'm getting too old for St. Patrick's Day to be my favorite day. However, New Year's Eve is still a day that I've always enjoyed. I have a tradition where I meet up with my cousin earlier in the day, and we spend some time together. And then New Year's Eve, obviously, is that feeling of, everything is new again, kind of thing. And I really enjoy that. I like the celebration. I'm in bed by 12:05 nowadays, but,
yeah,
but at 12:01, I'm tearing it up. So, I'll throw New Year's Eve on there as well.
Sounds great. In order to win, you must answer in the comments section on the Green Legion YouTube channel, the Green Legion Facebook page, or our Twitter handle at Green Legion. Our collective favorite answer will win at the beginning of the final segment. Now, let's cut the brass tacks now. Let's get out of the box. The 5-10 start just is not cutting the mustard, Murph. It's not keeping the good vibes going from last year's postseason run. As you can already sense the negative vibes from the fan base, from what I witnessed the other night, Aaron Nola getting booed off the mound, after his start. And I know he got squeezed there against Gene Segura, which kind of allowed a few more runs to happen. But I mean, if the Eagles can win a Super Bowl and get booed off the field at halftime of their home opener, which was banner night, anything is possible. So we should not be surprised by some of the reaction. I just think I'm a patient man by default. But at the same time, even I can be a little bit swayed and frustrated by what's happening. There's a thing about losing, but there's another way about how you're losing. That 13-0 loss yesterday, and I know five of those runs came at the hands of Josh Harrison having to pitch for the second time this season. It's ugly baseball, Murph. It's not like they're losing by the skin of their teeth. A lot of what's going on right now is just poorly executed baseball. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I can't argue with that. But let me backtrack to what you said at the very beginning. They're 5-10. So if I do my math correctly, we are 15 games into a 162-game schedule.
Correct.
So the overreaction is to panic, and I think that would be the wrong reaction. That said, your point about how they're losing is completely fair. It's a frustrating time right now because this team, on paper, is certainly much better than what they're playing. And they're making mistakes that they shouldn't be making. The base running mistakes are obviously glaring, right? There's been significantly more physical mistakes in the field than you would expect at this point. Edmundo Sosa, who's a terrific fielder, a terrific infielder, 3 errors in 3 straight games, right? It's not what you expect from this team. And then, as good as they've been, you know, in terms of team batting average, they're third in the league in terms of hits and doubles, and they have not at all been able to get the big hit. Runners in scoring position has been an absolute nightmare so far this season. So for all those reasons, yeah, I think the correct emotion, and I'm not trying to tell anybody how to feel. If you want to be angry, be angry. But I think frustrated is completely legit at this point. I think the guys in the clubhouse are frustrated. I just finished talking to Josh Harrison for the pregame show. He's going to play third base today. And we talked. I mean, he's a 13-year vet. He's a guy that's been on a couple of postseason teams, but he's been on a couple of pretty bad teams as well. And he said, look, this is a good team. We're going to be just fine. We just have to get our act together and start playing the way we know how. And I think that's pretty much the consensus in the clubhouse. Trey Turner said the other night, to Scott Lauber of the Philadelphia Inquirer, he said, look, we have to stop saying it's early because at some point it's not early anymore. And I think that's the right sentiment to have at this point. You don't want to just hang your hat on the fact that it's April and everything's going to be okay. Thank you, Scott Fransky. But you also need to, to have that mindset that it's getting late quick. So you have to go out there and get the job done. And I think that's how they feel. Now it's a matter of bringing it out to the field.
I always enjoy when Scott joins the broadcast here.
Me, not so much.
It's always great to have him drop by. Love it for sure. So do you think yesterday is going to be the wake-up call? Like the 13-0 loss, from what you are gathering from being around the clubhouse, like I wanted to ask you, and you kind of jumped into it, what's the mentality? But also, what is your biggest worry out of everything, like, that has happened so far? I mean, I have a list here. Inconsistent starting pitching, the bullpen leading baseball and walks, the team batting average of runners from scoring position, the lack of power from JT, Castellanos, and Trey Turner. I didn't even put on here the base running blunders, which we had another one yesterday. To you, what is the most concerning here in the early going? What jumps out most on, like, off of paper in your eyes?
Yeah, the pitching. What you mentioned about the pitching. I think you know, obviously baseball begins and ends with the arms on the mound. And we expected this rotation to be really solid, starting with Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler right there at the top. And then, of course, Ranger Suarez, who hasn't pitched yet, Deke sliding in at number three, Bailey Falter, four. Taiwan Walker, four, I guess, and Bailey Falter, five.
Right.
We're not seeing that. And then we certainly expected this revamped bullpen to be a terrific strength of this team. However, we haven't seen that yet. Now, why? Well, partly because the guys aren't performing the way that we expect them to, but it's also partly because of injury. And I don't want to hang too much of an excuse on the injury bug, but Matt Strom, who is going to be a big part of this bullpen, is in the starting rotation right now because Ranger Suarez is not. You know, all of that kind of stuff has a cumulative effect. You know, the Phillies came into the season knowing they were not going to have Bryce Harper, right? So they had a plan to get by without Bryce until he gets back. What they didn't know was they weren't going to have Rhys Hoskins. And even when Rhys goes down, they had a plan. Derek Hall, probably from a production standpoint, can give you similar numbers. And then he goes down. Edmundo Sosa's banged up. It's Garrett Stubbs was hurt. It becomes an issue because it becomes cumulative. And I think that's what we're seeing right now. So to your point, my biggest concern is the pitching right now, but I think there's a reason for it. But the second biggest concern is depth. And it's going to be a challenge over the next couple of weeks until some of these guys get healthy to continue to have the depth that you need to be consistent in Major League Baseball.
Now, I get it from the Rhys Hoskins production standpoint. I mean, you know, 30 home runs and 80 RBI are not easy to fill. But I think you and I both know that Derek Hall is more than capable of giving you 20 and 65. I mean, and when Bryce comes back, you kind of make up the back end of that production, and having a bat in the lineup like a Trey Turner, a guy like that can make up that additional production that you're losing from a Rhys Hoskins and adding that more to the top of the lineup. But from what I'm looking at with Rhys, was the Rhys Hoskins injury a bigger deal more for the morale of the clubhouse than his actual production on the field? Because I felt like all the good vibes that came from October and November, and then the offseason moves that Dombrowski was making, the beginning part of spring training, how the guys were producing in the WBC, and then all of a sudden we're getting everybody back, and Turner and Real Muto and Schwarber are back for 2 days, and we lose Rhys for the season, and it just felt like that bubble was burst. You're the one that was around it. You were there. I was there the week before, before everything, you know, hit the fan. To me, that seems to be the most deflating part about this early part of the season, is you don't have that voice in the clubhouse anymore who they call Mr. Philly. I think his leadership in the clubhouse, you losing that is a lot more than what they're losing on the field.
Yeah. I think it's a combination of the two, because he was a productive player, albeit a streaky player, but a very productive player. But you're right. What Rhys means to this team, it's hard to quantify what a guy can mean in a clubhouse. But I've been covering sports for a long time, and there are very few guys that I have watched consistently day in and day out, year after year, be such an amazing positive influence with a collection of guys. And Rhys Hoskins is that guy for the Philadelphia Phillies. I would say Kyle Schwarber is the de facto leader in that clubhouse. He's a little bit more vocal. He's a little bit more willing to take on that role. But Rhys was that steady influence, that steady presence, the guy that the media could turn to in a tough time, a stand-up guy, a guy that's going to take responsibility for mistakes, a guy that's going to be there for his teammates. And to a man, and I've talked to many of them about losing Rhys, yeah, I mean, it was a gut punch to see him out on the field in the pain that he was in, knowing immediately that they had lost him for the season. I don't think there was any question when he went down, you know, that it was an ACL tear and we were not going to have Rhys. I've talked to Rhys a couple of times since the injury.
Great interview last Sunday, by the way, Murph.
Thank you. Yeah, well, you know, and that's Rhys. You know, it's nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Rhys. But he's going to do everything he can to be that presence. But it's difficult when you're not out there on the field. So, yeah, it has an effect, for sure. But the team has to, you know, adopt that next man up philosophy. The next man up went down as well. So now you have Cody Clemens and Alec Bohm and Josh Harrison filling these roles. So it's a challenge for sure. But my hope, my sincere hope, is that this team makes a deep run into the playoffs and we get to see Rhys Hoskins in the uniform again this year.
Absolutely. I agree. And I'll tell you what should not be a challenge is where you hang out for Phillies games this season. You don't want to hang out alone in the man cave for baseball season. Try hanging out at Cheerleaders with sexy entertainers, $4 domestic drafts, Jameson specials, and awesome game day prizes during all Sunday and Monday football games. Actually, that's a part of the read. Quimby's got to give me a live read update on that one. But you want to go and hang out there for the best game day experience all season long at Cheerleaders Gentlemen's Club, where champions play. Cheerleaders is open daily from noon until 2 a.m. Oh, yeah. Oh yes, for sure. Hey, on the other side, we're going to do our 2023 predictions sure to go wrong, because they always do. Even though Murph did win last season, I will give him that caveat, because he put the Phillies in the World Series. But I mean, did anybody expect anything different? I'm sure that we're probably going to get the same thing this season. But also, real quick, before we dive into them, I want to make sure that we get the injury updates on, of course, some of the big components for the 2023 Phillies, Bryce Harper and Ranger Suarez, right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after this.
It's The Gambler. Totals and all the prop bets in between.
Welcome back. Second segment here on this Sunday morning in the Delaware Valley or Cincinnati, wherever you are listening to us or joining us at Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We are presented to you by our friends at Premier Window. Premier Window Cleaning is the leading window cleaning company in Philadelphia and the surrounding areas. Family owned and operated for 30 years. They offer commercial, residential window cleaning, pressure washing, parking garage cleaning, graffiti removal, post-construction cleaning. Every employee is trained, certified, and goes through an extensive background check. At Premier Window Cleaning, your satisfaction level needs to be 100%, as no job is complete until you're happy. With clients like Lincoln Financial Field, Comcast, Chop Roberts, and University of Pennsylvania, you cannot go wrong. For more information and a full list of services, give them a call at 267-534-5198. That's 267-534-5198. Or go to their website, wehatedirtywindows.com. That's wehatedirtywindows.com. All right, Murph, I need some injury updates here. Bryce Harper, obviously, first and foremost. I'm seeing we're starting to do some sliding drills. What's going on your end?
Yeah, you know, so one of the big things, obviously, Bryce has been swinging for a while. He's hitting BP out on the field. He's actually hitting rockets when you watch him out in BP. He joked with...
seen some video.
I think he joked yesterday with Scott Francis, because Scott said, you know, hey, man, you look really good out there. And Bryce is like, yeah, but it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, it's a little different at BP than it is.
Is he doing back-to-back days now? Is he hitting back-to-back?
No, not yet.
Okay.
No, not yet. Not as far as I know. We don't always get the, you know, it happens kind of early sometimes. But I don't believe he's doing back-to-back games. But the big talk was, hey, he's not going to be able to return until he gets cleared to slide, which is a big part of it. He obviously needs to be cleared to throw to play the field, but in order to be an offensive player, to be a DH, he has to be able to slide. And that was the next big step. Certainly, head-first slides are off the table at this point, but he has begun sliding feet-first and practicing that. They're actually trying to teach him to slide on the other side of his body, away from his injured elbow, because his natural slide is on his elbow side. So they're trying to teach him to come in the other way. And knowing Bryce, you know, he'll take to that pretty quickly. So it's a big step. It's an important step. Again, it's not game time speed, but it is a step in the right direction. We're getting closer and closer to seeing Bryce Harper back in this lineup. So that we are obviously still a couple of weeks away at least, but It's certainly going to be before that All-Star break timeline that they had originally put out there.
Are we thinking in the next 4 weeks, Murph? Because, you know, I'm going to be in Colorado in a month. It would be great to see him in mid-May in the middle of that lineup. You know, you and I are going to be doing that Sunday broadcast there right outside of Coors Field. I got to get with Quimmy to find out exactly where we're going to be doing that, which is great because you're an early morning person and it'll be a 9 a.m. broadcast.
Yeah, I love the early morning. Especially when I'm coming in from the night before.
It'll be Bud Light Baseball breakfast on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. in Colorado.
Hey, whatever it takes. Yeah, you know, is it possible? Sure. You know, I certainly don't want to put anything out there. I have no inside information as to the dates they're targeting. But, you know, what are we at? April 16th today. Happy birthday to my brother, by the way. April 16th today. So, yeah, you know, May 16th, May 25th, something along those lines. I think it's possible. It remains to be seen. But if he does come back that quickly, wow, what a remarkable recovery from Tommy John surgery. And that's, you know, typical Bryce Harper. He's just built a little different than everybody else.
From what Rob Thompson said yesterday, too, it looks like he's not going to have to go into the minor leagues to do a rehab assignment. That he'll just go right to the big leagues. Kind of hard to believe that a guy hasn't seen live pitching like from a major league hit, you know, pitcher since the first week of November, and we're just going to put him right back in the lineup. Even last year, he was out for 2 months, and he went down for a couple days in AAA. Hard to believe, you know, as they would say, you know, as Whitey would say, hard to believe, Harry. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at from that context.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly unorthodox, and in that context, it's hard to believe. But again, when it comes to Bryce, it's just everything's just a little bit different with him in terms of the way he goes about his business and the way he has proven over time that he heals. And it's so the idea, I mean, you know, to your point, he went down last year and I think he played, what, 3 games? He was supposed to play 6 down at a rehab assignment. And after the 3rd game, he had homered twice and doubled 3 times or whatever. And they're just like, what's the point? Bring him up. And when he got here, he started a little slow. It took him a little bit. I think it took him 4 or 5 games to kind of get into the groove.
But well, he came out hot, but then he went down. But then, like, his numbers went down in September. His August numbers for 6 games were really good. It was September where he just – we were like, what? Even if we get to the postseason, what kind of Bryce Harper are we going to have?
Yeah. Well, it was a pretty good one.
It was probably the greatest I've ever seen.
Yeah. So again, it's just a matter of what Bryce believes – is the fastest way to get himself ready and back on the big league field. And if he believes, just put me in the lineup and I'll get to where I need to be in 3 or 4 major league games. Bryce Harper in the lineup, regardless of how he's swinging, lengthens the lineup. It gives the opposing managers and the opposing pitchers something to think about. So, you know, it's never a bad thing to pencil Bryce Harper into a lineup, even if he's not 100%.
Can't wait for him to come back. Real quick, injury updates. Give me Ranger Suarez and Andrew Painter.
Yeah, so Ranger Suarez threw a bullpen yesterday, an up and down. I think it was 45 pitches. So today is obviously the big test, how he feels today. By all indications, this is his second full bullpen, and he felt really good after the first one. Assuming he feels good today, which I would think is a pretty safe assumption, the next step for him is to throw live BP to Bryce Harper. So Bryce Harper will be the batter. Ranger Suarez will be the hitter. Or excuse me, if Ranger Suarez will be the pitcher. And that's how that's how they're going to try and get these two guys ready. So that could happen as early as tomorrow in Chicago. Although it might, you know, the weather might cause a little bit of an issue with that. However, that's the plan, to get the two of them out there on the field, give Bryce a look at some live pitching, and give Ranger a look at some live hitters. And there might be one other hitter involved. I'm not sure who that would be. But that's the plan for Ranger Suarez. So he's getting closer. And I think if that goes well, then probably the next step is out on a rehab assignment.
Okay. Andrew Painter.
Andrew Painter every other day right now. So 2 days ago, he threw from 65 feet, just a light soft toss. He was at 45 feet, then he went to 65 feet. The next step is 85. And then after that, they'll probably get him up on a mound. So right now it's every other day. So I do believe it will be today that he goes over 80 feet and has a soft toss. And again, as long as he continues to feel good, and by all accounts, that's what we're hearing, they'll take it slow, and they should at this point with Andrew Painter. I mean, his value to this franchise over the next decade, you know, certainly outweighs trying to get him back in the month of May into this rotation. So, you know, I think we don't see Andrew Painter until probably the second half of this season in the rotation if he's healthy. And at that point, you talk about pretty nice pickup if he's healthy and ready to go into that rotation. That'll be pretty special. So they're certainly going to slow play Andrew Painter, but he is making progress.
Blessing in disguise, in my opinion. I get people wanting to rush and see the phenom live sure. in the flesh, 19 years old. I mean, there hasn't been many for the Phillies over the course of time. But this guy, you need to save his bullets. And for me, I'd rather see his bullets in the second half of the season instead of him sitting there in you know, a stretch run in mid-September into the playoffs, and he's wearing a Steven Strasburg 2012 Nationals playoff jersey, which was their hoodie. I don't want to see that guy sitting on the sideline while we're trying to make a run. I think it's better off how it I don't want him to get hurt, but him not pitching and him not throwing right now, it completely, well, him throwing, but him not throwing in the big leagues and throwing major mm-hmm. innings, I think it's a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, I did too. They were going to have to manage his innings anyway. So whether or not if he had made the rotation coming out of spring, which was still just a possibility, they were going to really have to manage, you know, how much they used him anyway. So at the end of the day, as long as his elbow is good, then I think you're right. I think ultimately, as much as we all wanted to see this 19-year-old guy come up and dominate at the major league level, we have time for that. And the time is probably the second half of the season.
Russ Taylor, real quick, he's trying to get some brownie points in this discussion. What is your favorite day of the year to win those two tickets? And he said any day that he gets to see Samantha. Samantha has a day off today, so there's no kissing of ass on Bud Light Baseball Brunch while Samantha is not here. Slash is the one that's taking these things down today. So,
but any day I can see Slash.
Yes. He said, thanks, Murph. All right, Murph, let's get into our MLB predictions. Let's start it out with the National League first. Okay. So I want to know your three division winners and your three wild cards, and give me a dark horse, a playoff team that a team that's not in your top six that's going to the playoffs, but a team to look out for that wouldn't surprise you if they did make it into the playoffs.
Okay. All right. So do I start at the top? I'll start at the top.
Start with East.
So the National League East, I've got the Braves winning the division. I think top to bottom, as long as they stay healthy, they're probably the most complete team right now. Now, could that change? And it could be the Mets. It could be the Phillies. It's the same as last year. These three teams are all kind of right there. The Braves have been out to a pretty hot start, so it's easier for me to look at the Braves at the moment and say they're probably the class of the division. Again, certainly could change. I certainly hope it changes, but at this point, I'll say the Braves. In the Central, I'm going chalk. I think the Cardinals are the best team. I know they're off to a little bit of a slow start too, but a lot of firepower in that lineup, some good pitching as well. So I'm going to take the Cardinals to win that division. And then out there in the West, again, I'm not setting anybody on fire here. I think this is the year for the Padres. I think the Padres win that division. And I guess probably my biggest surprise in my predictions, I don't have the Dodgers making the postseason. I think they finally have gotten to the point where other teams have closed the gap. And I think the Padres win that division. And I don't think they're going to have a good enough record to get into the postseason. Yeah, so that remains to be seen. So then my other three teams that would make the postseason would be the Phillies and the Mets. So three teams again out of the National League East. And then I have the Brewers as the sixth wild card team this year. I think the Brewers kind of righted the ship from last year. It was an odd year for them, making some strange trades midway through the season that really disrupted their clubhouse. But I think the Brewers are a pretty good team still, and I have them making it. Now, the West is a great division, and, you know, a couple of those teams could jump up. Certainly the Dodgers could, but that's who I'm going with. I'm going with the Brewers.
You got a dark horse for me?
I guess the dark horse would be Arizona. I don't expect them to make the postseason, but, you know, they have some pretty good pitching, and personally, I think it's one of the toughest places to play in the National League, so I think they have that advantage. When teams come in there, it's quiet, it's dark, there's not a whole lot of energy there. And we've seen the Phillies really struggle there over the years. So I think, you know, maybe they back in somehow. So they would be my dark horse.
Okay. All right. So for me, the East is the Braves. I have the Cardinals in the Central. I still have the Dodgers in the West. I just think the Dodgers have too many resources not to make any changes come midseason. They have the best manager in the division in Dave Roberts. Yes. Bob Melvin. Okay. Am I supposed to believe in Bob Melvin? I mean, like, the guy couldn't bring in Josh Hader to face Bryce Harper in the biggest moment of their season. I mean, I can't believe him. So I'm going to go with Dave Roberts in that spot with the Dodgers. My wild cards, I have the Phillies, the Padres, and the Brewers. I do not believe in the Mets. When your average age for your starting pitching staff is 73, I'm sorry. Eventually, it's somewhere along the line, it's going to fall apart for you. They always win the World Series in April, but they don't do it when it matters most. I'm going to have them fading and falling off. That's not happening, especially because Edwin Diaz, they lost him for the season. That is a huge loss. The guy had 50 saves last year. I mean, who's going to – Dave Robertson is going to button it down for him the ninth. My National League dark horse is the Giants. I just think last year they took a couple steps back. They lost some veteran leadership in that clubhouse. They have good pitching. They can hit. Surprisingly, they can hit for power. I just think that team might be able to right the ship this year. Not a lot of teams in the National League you can say that about. Maybe the Marlins can make a surprise run because they signed a lot of veterans. And Luis Arraez, man, he's just an animal.
Unbelievable.
Let's buzz through the American League real quick. What do you got?
Okay, all right. So American League East, I've got Toronto winning the division. In the Central, I've got Minnesota taking care of business. And out West, I have the Seattle Mariners taking the division out there. And then my wild card teams would be the New York Yankees and the Tampa Rays. I have the Rays as the sixth wild card team.
Okay.
And then I have the Angels making the postseason.
The defending world champions are missing the playoffs.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't pick Houston. Much like I shouldn't have picked the Nets. I'm kind of rooting for your scenario more than mine. But I'm not picking Houston. Look, are they the best team in baseball right now? Yeah, probably. But I'm gonna skip them. And one of these days, Trout's got to make the postseason. So I'm going to go with the Angels.
All right. So I had the Rays. I had the Rays winning the American League East. Before this run, I had the Rays winning the American League East.
They won't win the division.
I had them winning the American League East. The Yankees, Fugazi, on that end. And, you know, the Blue Jays, it remains to be seen. I mean, we'll see how that goes. But those three teams are all going to vie for it anyway. The AL Central, I have the Guardians. So I have the Cleveland winning it back-to-back. Tito is amazing. He gets the best out of all of his players with everywhere he's been. Mariners, American League West for me. I have the Astros, the Yankees, and the Blue Jays. And then my American League dark horse, the Orioles. If they get some pitching, that team can rake. And Adley Rutschman, man, he is a player.
He's pretty good.
He's not the best catcher in baseball yet, but he's close. He's close, yeah. Murph. I need to see more, but he's close. That kid can do it all.
Yeah, he's a special talent for sure. I guess my dark horse would be Houston. I don't know if I can.
All right, give me your World Series prediction. Who over who?
All right, you know, it's funny. I hate not picking our squad. I picked the Phillies.
You picked the Phillies last year over the Blue Jays. I think it was.
Yeah. Well, so I'm going to go Blue Jays again. And this year, and again, I hope I'm wrong, folks. I really do. But I'm going to go with the Padres. So the Padres and the Blue Jays in the World Series this year.
All right. I have the Mariners over the Dodgers.
Okay.
All West Coast. I know you don't believe in the Dodgers to make the playoffs. I just think if they have to make moves, they have a great farm system. They're going to make the moves necessary. And their dark horse team, I mean, maybe not a dark horse team because they have let a lot of like money go, but they might make that move at the trade deadline. If the Angels are on their way out and they need to make that move, they have enough resources to go out and get Shohei Ohtani at the All-Star break. Right around that time frame. We've seen it over the years. Machado, Scherzer, Trey Turner. It happens. All right, so let's do our MVPs and our Cy Youngs, and then we're heading to break.
Okay. All right, so for MVP in the National League, I have Nolan Arenado of the Cardinals.
He's due.
He is, right? He's one of the top players in all of baseball, and he's a guy that is going to just, I think, tear up that division. He's a special player, and he's also one of those guys that the media kind of falls in love with every year, and I think that helps. You know, he's certainly not a dark horse.
Like Joel Embiid.
MVP. Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, in a similar way, it's like he's the anti-Joel Embiid, right? You know, everyone wants him to win the MVP. So I'm going to go Nolan Arenado in the American League. And this is kind of ironic because I don't have him in the postseason, but I'll have Yordan Alvarez as your American League MVP.
Beast.
Yeah, he's just a monster. And again, to your point, really good team. Certainly has have a chance to make the postseason, a very good chance. And so I'll go with Alvarez on that.
Okay, and I'll go Freddie Freeman, National League MVP for me. I had Trey Turner and Arenado as my runner-ups. And okay. My American League MVP, now this could go by the wayside, but we'll see based off if he goes to the Dodgers, like I just kind of predicted. Shohei Ohtani, obviously, but then Jose Ramirez and Julio Rodriguez. And real quick, just give me your two Cy Youngs, and we're going to cut out.
Okay, so my Cy Youngs are going to be Dylan Cease in the American League. And
like
in the National League, I'm going chalk. I'm going Alcantara again. I think he's the best pitcher in the National League, so I'm gonna take him.
American League, Luis Castillo from Seattle. Animal. What a trade pickup. The Yankees should have made that deal instead of Seattle making that deal last year. And then I got Zach Wheeler in the National League. I just think Zach Wheeler, he's due, runner up a couple years ago. He's gonna get the job done for sure.
Okay.
Let's go ahead. Hold on 1 second. We can't go to break without talking about the Ludlum Bar and Grill in Seattle City. Again, we can't introduce them because they've already been introduced, but they're at 4000 Landis Avenue in Seattle City. Yes, it's the old La Costa. Make sure you guys get over there and grab that La Costa lemonade. We're looking to do another live remote again this season down there at the Ludlum. A lot of fun, great times down there. You cannot go wrong with setting yourself up to spend some time at the Ludlum Hotel. LudlumHotel.com. That's Ludlum, L-U-D L-A-M hotel.com, or call them at 609-263-7829. That's 609-263-7829 for all your reservation, dining, or entertainment questions. The Ludlum Hotel, your new oasis in Seattle City. All right, we got a lot to cover. Your favorite day of the year, our three picks for today's action on this beautiful Sunday in the Delaware Valley. Can I say beautiful? It's overcast here too, but we have our Can You Believe It? So then we're going to talk about the week ahead right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. This is Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We'll be right back after this.
If you can wager on it, we're talking about it. It's The Gambler.
All right, final segment here. Sunday morning. Phillies Reds this afternoon. Aaron Nola looking for his first win of 2023 against Luis Sessa of the Cincinnati Reds. You know, it can't get any worse for Aaron Nola than it did for Cliff Lee in 2012 when it took him until 4th of July to get his first win of the season. You know, you go from finishing third in the Cy Young to getting your first W in July 4th in 2012. I was there for that up in City Field.
Baseball's a funny sport.
Yes, it is. But hey, make sure you guys go and check out our good friends at Echelon Health and Fitness in Voorhees, New Jersey, voted the best gym in South Jersey 5 years in a row. Membership starting at $8.99 per month. We have a live remote show coming up, not us, but Green Legion Radio has a live remote show coming up on Saturday, April 29th. Live from their new location. They have a soft opening on the 29th of April in Audubon, New Jersey. So make sure you give them a call, 856-454-2976 for a free 30-day all-access pass, or go to echelonhf.com to check them out. And then you guys can go over and check out, we'll have Irving Fryer, Eagles legend Irving Fryer, over down there at the new location in Audubon, New Jersey on April 29th. All right, final segment here. Murph, we have some tickets to give away, so let's pick out the favorite day of the year. And here are our options. We have Phillies opening day. We have the day of the Eagles opener. We have 4th of July, Thanksgiving, Memorial Day, New Year's Day, or the Royal Rumble. And I know you're not voting on the Royal Rumble.
That's not getting my vote.
And if we had to go to tiebreaker, because I picked it, I know Slash is not taking that one. So John Jansen, get out of here. Get out of here. I'll give you free tickets for producing our shows sometimes, all right? All right.
So out of those, You know what? You know what would have been a good one is the first day of the NCAA tournament, which is always a fun day as well.
Sometimes St. Patrick's Day. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it falls right on St. Patty's Day. Yep. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay. But out of the ones that you just named, I think I'm going to go with the 4th of July. The 4th of July is, you know, middle of the summer. Hopefully it's a beautiful day. You've got the small town parades. There's a lot of civic pride going on. There's always baseball happening, or almost always. I guess we were off. I think we were off last year on the 4th of July.
We were off too many holidays last year.
Yeah. Yeah. But for the most part, you know, there's all kinds of things happening on the 4th. The red, white, and blue is flying. So I'm going to go with the 4th of July. That's my vote.
See, I love 4th of July. The sad part about 4th of July is, like, I get it's a paid holiday for me for work. But sometimes when it falls on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, I have to work Monday, Tuesday, and then I'm off Wednesday, and I work Thursday, Friday. It's a floating holiday. I enjoy it. It's great. It's nice to have the day off, but it's not coupled with a weekend. I enjoy Memorial Day more. Memorial Day is the official kickoff to summer. The weather is just as nice, and I don't have to deal with as many idiots that I have to do with on 4th of July, and I get that nice 3-day weekend. Slash, you're going to have to tiebreak us 4th of July or Memorial Day. Do you agree with me? Yep. He's pointing at me. All right, so okay. Memorial Day is our winner. Mike Davis, who I pretty much gave season tickets to in 2021. Mike Davis, congratulations. I should have your email address. If not, I will message you on Facebook to receive it. All right, Murph, let's go ahead. Let's get into our picks here because we got to try and win some people money. Some of us did it better than others last year. Murph went 26-31 with 31.5 points, while I went 32-25 with 42 total points. And, you know, Murph did miss a couple shows, and I will say this, I won you money on those as well. But Murph said I couldn't include them on the standings. So, I mean, you know, some people just hate.
You didn't need them.
Some people just hate greatness. So.
Yeah.
Half point for -200 or higher. 1 point for -199 to 100. 2 points +100 to +199. 3 points for +200 or higher. 1 point for either the over or the under. Yeah. Murph, let's get the ball rolling. Let's try and win some money. What do you got for me today?
All right. So I'm not going to try and get some extra points today. I'm going to try to get off the board and get three in a row.
Get off the schneid?
Get off the schneid a little bit. First up for me is my favorite. I love the Phillies today. I honestly do. And it's not a homer pick. I love Aaron Nola out on the mound. I joked with you before the show started. I said, I'm on no-hitter alert today. I think Aaron's going to be terrific today. And so the Phillies are the favorites in this one. They're -190. I'll take the Phillies over the Reds.
All right. I'm going to take Jonathan India with a single to start the game.
Oh.
I'm kidding.
It's cruel.
No, I like them too, but obviously you take a -195 to try and get a point there. I'm going to go with the Giants today at Detroit, -150. Tigers take the first two in that series. Logan Webb just signed a nice contract extension. He's going to want to try and validate that today with the Giants. They are not going to get swept. Detroit is a terrible ball club. So I'm going to take the Giants -150. What's your second pick for today?
All right, so the over-under today, and if I'm reading this number right, the Mets and the A's are the over-under 6.5. I guess they're not giving the A's offense a whole lot of credit, which I think is fair. They've got 3 wins on the season. But I'll take the over in that one. I think the Mets could do that all on their own, to be quite frank.
What's the over-under?
6.5 is what I have.
I have over 9.
Oh.
Because that was my over-under that I took. And I have that over.
Okay. You took that over? Well, then obviously... we'll both use the same number. And,
we can use the same number. Over 9?
Okay. Over 9, and I'll take the Mets and the A's.
Yeah, I'm sitting there. I'm like, no, Jose Butto and J.P. Sears are pitching today. Butto is first start of the season. J.P. Sears has a 5.59 ERA. I'm taking you over on that as well. Give me your underdog for today.
All right, so my underdog today, Angels Red Sox. The Boston Red Sox are favored in this one. They're -115. But give me the Angels. I just told you they're going to win. They're going to be in the postseason this year. Not a particularly good pitching matchup for either team. So give me the Angels on the road to win the final game in Boston.
All right. I got a great pitching matchup in the Bronx today. But I'm taking the Twins +145 at the Yankees. Pablo Lopez versus Gerrit Cole. Twins took the first two and then lost yesterday with some controversy with Domingo Herman. You know, maybe having something on his hand. Rocco Baldelli gets kicked out of the game. I just think the Twins are going to take that fire from their manager. They're going to throw it over to today. Cole's due for a bad start. So I'm going to take the Twins +145. Can you believe it? believe it. Can you believe it? Two things that we found interesting from this past week in Major League Baseball. Murph, give me your first one.
Well, you know what? Go ahead, Zach. You start on this one because as often as I was in school, I'm unprepared for my homework right now. So go ahead.
All right. How about I just give you my two first? All right.
I think that's a good plan.
Give you enough time? All right, cool.
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Rays, obviously, with a 13-0 start, the Rays tied the best record in Major League Baseball since 1885. And there's listen, I got to give credit to their social media account the other day because they tweeted out after they lost that somewhere that the 1884, I think it was the St. Louis Browns, were popping champagne, kind of like Mercury Morris and 72 Dolphins do every year when the final team in the NFL loses their first game. I thought that was pretty classy by them to acknowledge them, even though they don't know what the hell Twitter is. And they are long, long gone by now. But I will give you my first one on that one. And then I think another one that's pretty cool here. This is about Shohei Ohtani. And this was from a few days ago that courtesy of CBS Sports. So far this season, Shohei Ohtani has more home runs than Ronald Acuna, lower ERA than Gerrit Cole, higher batting average than Mookie Betts, and more strikeouts than Max Scherzer. The guy is just a machine.
All right. That's some good ones. All right. How about this for Can You Believe It? If I said to you, who has the most home runs since 2021 that have traveled over 450 feet, you'd probably say, you know, maybe someone like Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani, someone like that. How about this? CJ Cron has 16 home runs over 450 feet.
Which is twice as many as the next guy, right?
Yeah, twice as many as Tyler O'Neill, who has 8, and Salvador Perez, who has 8. So 16 by CJ Cron. That is hard to believe. So can you believe that? And then how about last night in his final season, Miguel Cabrera, you know, starting his
Oh, geez. We just lost Murph. Oh.
First pinch hit.
There he is.
His first pinch hit in Major League Baseball.
That was his first pinch hit? That was his actual
first pinch hit.
And he gets the walk-off.
And it was a walk-off. How about that?
That's awesome.
You talk about a special player, a special career. Yeah, Miggy gets in his final season playing Major League Baseball. He gets that.
Oh, geez, that's awesome. I didn't know that one. I saw the other one, CJ Cron. I saw that one this morning. That guy's been bandied about and rumored, you know, potentially to the Phillies even before Derek Hall's injury.
Let me clarify that. First career pinch hit, walk-off.
Walk-off, okay.
Career pinch, walk-off.
I was about to say, man.
Okay. Yeah, I know. That didn't sound right either. I told you I wasn't prepared, so I was on the fly there.
You know who else wasn't prepared? The Phillies yesterday. Hopefully they are more prepared today in the finale against the Reds in the four-game set. Three more on the road trip. They're heading to Southside Chicago before coming home and then facing CJ Cron and those Colorado Rockies. What do we need to see this week, Murph? Because the schedule has been on the lighter side as far as being able to, like, feastability in the early going here. We need to start stacking up some of these wins before we start getting to some of these obvious contenders in the National League and the American League, since now we're facing everybody.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. I'm in a complete agreement with you. They need some momentum. They need to put two wins together, first and foremost, but right foot, left foot. But how about three or four or five out of six kind of thing to get themselves back into this. It has to start today. They need to come out of here with a split with the Cincinnati Reds, head off to the White Sox, a good team, but a team I think that they can play well against. Momentum. That's what they need. That's what has to happen.
Sounds great. Murph, appreciate you joining us today live from Great American Ballpark. He's coming up on the pregame show at 105, so make sure you guys check him out on the Phillies Radio Network. Slash for producing today. Sam for doing absolutely nothing. I'm Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio, and like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard or Bryce Harper in that special, special spot against Robert Suarez, and it wasn't 3-1 pitch, but it was just as special. We are a Bud Light Baseball Brunch, and we are out of here. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Aaron Nola, time to wake up, and the bats as well. Let's go, Phillies.